Okay, guys, everybody know who this is?
Yeah.
Anyone?
Yeah.
Wiley.
Yes, that's right. And so to open up here with kind of a comedy thing where we look at our lives, and you always think this, you know, all the time as a kid, it got to the point where I started rooting for the coyote. Like, going, this is pretty bad, you know, this poor dude. And it was funny because you think about, as I was going through and preparing this, it reminded me of a couple different examples, and this was one of them. And where do I put myself in? Have I ever been to the point where I am so engaged or engrossed in something that I refuse to throw in? And I'm like going, oh boy, I probably should have stopped a long time ago. But I'm like, no, I will win. And I think about that. I think about Saul's pursuit of David, where he would go to the ends of the earth to get David. And you're like going, stop, just stop already. And that's what I think about. So I think to myself, okay, in a comedy type of a way, how this applies to us. And so I always laugh at this because you see a person who is just all out. That is, their entire existence is to catch this bird. And then you see the look on the bird's face. And it's just that toying with you, like going, yeah, really? You ain't going to get me. You ain't going to get me. And so it kind of makes me laugh to think, okay, let's put some of the things into perspective with this. And so here's Wiley Cody's business card. And I'm like going, this would be perfect. I need to put this on the back of my business card. You know, Tim Sauter's genius. Have brain, will travel. I don't know how that would affect my business, but I love that, okay? And then you have the dude that is just able to, his mind runs so much different. He's able to come up with all kinds. I mean, who would have thunk that you could have an ice machine to snow coming out there in the desert and this is how he's going to catch the bird? Okay? Or a steerable rocket. Okay, he's strapped to it. And so I didn't put any of the anvil ones because normally that's where the anvil came from. And I didn't know what it was as a kid. I just realized it must be really heavy. Yeah, until you go to buy one or you pick one up and you're like going, okay, now I understand the implications of that. But they always end up this way. Okay, so all his pursuit that he does is it's in vain. Okay, and so I had to laugh. This is from the Warner Brothers, and it's Coyote Carnivorous Vulgaris. That's his Latin name. But the coyote has that mentality that I can do it myself. Okay, you really don't ever see any. And I tried to remember. Like, I can't remember of any of the episodes because I used to love watching them, of him getting any help. He would go buy stuff, but I never saw him get any help. He was in this for himself. He could do it all on his own. Best laid plans and planning. You could see him reading all the Acme books to figure out how he was going to catch the bird. His wit and will to win the battle were awesome. But he never, ever won. And you're like going, okay, wait a minute. Hey, okay, I think I've been down this road a couple times. Never surrender attitude. I'm going to beat you regardless. I'm going to catch you. Going to catch you. Was too proud to seek out help. Went on his own endeavor, thinking it was routine and had been done before. So he'd come up with stuff or try something over and over again, and it same results over and over again. And then the money spent on his gadgets, and even as a kid, I used to think to myself, with all the money he's spending on all this stuff, why don't you just go buy some food, for crying out loud? Okay, it's that mentality, no, I got to catch this bird. But you're like, when you got a refrigerator strapped to your back, dude, just fill it with food. What are you thinking? That bird doesn't even look that tasty. It's pretty scrawny. Okay? Not going into the big battle ideology, okay? Thinking that what I'm getting ready to do is pretty routine and pretty mundane. And so this is kind of where I lead into this because I thought it was kind of funny to see how that is. And within my own life, I can relate to being at those places where I'm like going, I'm not backing down. I'm not giving in to something. It could be something simple. Normally it was something mechanical, you know, like a chainsaw or something like that. Yeah. You shush. No help from the audience. I don't want to hear about it, okay? It's not interjection time from the crowd. Let's flip over here to Psalms 18. And if you have markers, you can go ahead and put them in there because we will come back to it after we leave it. How's that grab you? Okay, Psalms 18. We're going to be on page 535. All right. reading out of the Rotherham, and I'll go ahead and read these here. The first portion is Psalms 18, 1 through 6, and you see here at the beginning it says, to the chief musician. It's kind of neat because as I went through and read a lot of the stuff about Daniel here recently, it's kind of neat how Daniel was a very gifted musician and played. As a matter of fact, Saul would try to, that when he would try to spear him, David would be playing music for him as well.
And so, talking about Daniel or David?
David, I'm sorry. Did I say Daniel?
Yeah,
sorry. Thank you for correcting me. But he was a very gifted musician as well. So to the chief musician of the servant of Yahweh of David, who spake unto Yahweh the words of the song in the day when Yahweh had rescued him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul, and he said, I will love thee, O Yahweh, my strength. Yahweh is my mountain crag, or mountain fortress, or mountain rock, and my stronghold and my deliverer. My L, whenever you see that all caps, a big G with a small caps next to it, it's L. My L was my rock. I sought refuge in him, my shield and my horn of salvation, my high tower. As one worthy to be praised, called I on Yahweh, and from my foes was I saved. The meshes of death encompassed me, and the torrents of perdition made me afraid. The meshes of Hades, or Sheol, that's actually Sheol is the word for that, okay, had surrounded me. For anybody who's reading a different translation right here, okay, you're going to see in 4 and 5, it will use two different words where it's meshes. It's the exact same Hebrew word. Okay, and I love that, how Rotherham put that in there together, meshes. It's the same word, but in other translations, you'll see it as two different words right there. But the meshes, and when you think about that, it would be like the nets or the you know, something that would entangle. Think about a cobweb, if you will. Okay, the meshes of death encompassed me. The torrents of perdition made me afraid. The meshes of Sheol in 5 had surrounded me. The snares of death had confronted me. In my distress called I on Yahweh, and unto my Elohim made outcry for help. He heard out of his temple my voice, and my outcry for help came before him, entered into his ears. Like I said, leave a marker here because we are going to come back to this. But this is where we'll look at, as I've gone through here with the teaching last week about David and his prayer and how he specifically requested answers from the prayer. We're going to see some of the other things. And this is going to be a pursuit, okay? A endeavor towards Yahweh or a pursuit towards Yahweh. And I'm going to show you that David was a great example of it. And so, moving from victim to valor, and nowadays when you see it, it's funny because you can turn on any talk show and it's all victim. Well, who do we blame for your messed up life? Okay, and it's always somebody's responsible for my messed up life. And I'm like going, for crying out loud, you know, I when you look around the world and you see how other people live and what they're subject to, you're like, your life doesn't look so bad. Who was it, Jeff Foxworthy or one of the guys from the blue collar comedy tour? He goes, you want to feel good about yourself? Go to the carnival. And I'm like going, that's right. That's right. But it's the same way. You can look out there and you're like going, do I really have it that bad? You know, but it's always something else. Well, I'm because of this and because of that. And so we built into this whole victim theory where everybody's a victim. Okay, everybody's a victim. And so this is to pull people away from that victim to the victor. David found himself in distress, always found himself in battle. Battle surrounded David. Found himself in doubt and defeat, and you could see how. And so this is what's important about it, is David's pursuit of Yahweh and his endeavors towards Yahweh made no difference how David felt. And if David was at the top of the world, just won a battle, or was about to be attacked, his pursuit to Yahweh was always there. So whether you were feeling strong and everything's going your direction, or everything was going against you, he always had the same pursuit to Yahweh. And that's exactly how we have to put ourselves to. David acknowledges inability to defeat the enemy. When I am weak, then I become fortified. And the pursuit of Yahweh was, like I just said, whether he was engaged or not engaged, it was always the same. So let's flip over to 2 Corinthians, because we're going to see this here now in the church epistles. I'll let one of the kids read this one here. 2 Corinthians 12, page 189. And one of the kids want to read 10 through 9 through 10 for me? Anyone?
No, Will.
Okay. 9 and 10 of 2 Corinthians 12.
I read it. Can I read it?
Well, let Mal read this one. I'll get you the next one, okay? Go ahead.
And at once he said unto me,
Sufficient
for thee is my favor, for my power and weakness is made complete. Most gladly, therefore, I rather boast in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may spread a tent over me. Wherefore I take pleasure in weaknesses, in insults, in necessities, in persecutions, and straits, in behalf of Christ. For as soon as I am weak, then I am powerful.
That's it. And so that's just so backwards. You read that and you're like going, that's completely awkward from what we know, you know, and what we think and what we see. And so part of it is, as he's explaining here, is confessing the weaknesses. Now, as we think about that, confessing the weakness. Sometimes that's easy to do, sometimes it's not. As we go through and we're like going, okay, I need to confess this. I need to speak these things out. Okay? And David would do that he would say these things. Confess that I might possess. Okay? This is where we look at it to say, all right, by doing this, the pursuit of, and I'll kind of link this all together. Yahweh's thinking is not like our own reasoning. And it's pretty obvious in the world, weakness is failure. I mean, you think about that. No recruiter is going to go out for a pro team and be like going, how's the chess club looking? Okay,
yeah.
They're like going, no, you're not going to look at it that way, because you then the chess club, don't let me offend anybody who's that, because they may be thinking, yeah, just put these, you know, these brain dead people. It's stereotypes that we're looking at. But the person that's on the line is going to be the big, beefy, strong guy that's going to be there. And so when we look at it by the world standard, it's completely backwards from what the Bible says. By being weak that you're strong. Well, how the hell is that possible? That makes no sense. And it's because we're not relying on ourselves, that we're in the pursuit after Yahweh. Admission of weakness. Pursue after. Okay? And so this is where I think a lot of times where it gets backwards, where people misinterpret what they're supposed to be pursuing after. The enemy. I'm going to go after the adversary. And Yahweh, in most cases, is not telling you that. You know what he's telling you to? Pursue after him. And he will direct pursuing after the enemy. Or he will pursue after the enemy. But to pursue after him, you can't bypass that step. It's like one to the next. You pursue after the enemy. Only after you pursued after Yahweh, and Yahweh's given you the go-ahead to pursue after the enemy, he may tell you not to. And we saw that last time around with David, that there was times where he told him not to. Pursue Yahweh. And I always think about this as children. Okay, where, and I'm guilty of this, where you're playing with a kid and you're going to pretend like you're going to chase after the kid. Okay, and so you make like a half attempt, almost got you. And the kid runs around, they're laughing and joking. You have no intention of catching them. It's just to slow, you know, kind of entertain them, keep them running, wear them out a little bit so they'll sleep tonight. And so you're just like, almost got you. And you're not, there's no intention of catching the child. Okay, and then that's one extreme. And the other extreme is you think about a mother who is half sleeping at night to listen to the child cry, and as soon as the child makes a sound, she is right there on the spot. Okay, that's the pursuit that we're talking about here for Yahweh, is that it's always there for Yahweh. Our pursuit is to Yahweh. Everything else, let it fall in place as it may. Okay, pursuit goes to Yahweh. Dependence on Yahweh is found on our pursuit. And so when you look at that, you're like, okay, well, wait a minute, what does exactly that mean? Our dependence is solely on the pursuit. So if we are only pursuing Yahweh, like the parent chasing the child, or you know, goofing around with them, your dependence is it's for that area, it's completely minimized. And so if I'm only pursuing Yahweh when I need something, time for prayer, I got to get back in and start pursuing after Yahweh. Okay, my dependence shows that because I'm not in pursuit of Yahweh, my dependence on him is way down here until I need something, and then my dependence goes up, and now my pursuit goes up. David was a perfect example where his pursuit stayed up. It stayed up the entire time. And that's what we're trying to look at. Because it's too easy, as we become more self-reliant, our dependence level drops off as we become more self-reliant. Reliant. Not pursuing him is not depending on Yahweh. So let's go to Psalm 63. And pursuit, when you look at it, there's a lot of it in There's a lot of it in Psalms, which is wonderful. I didn't want to break down the whole word of it because I'm just trying to get through the teaching here. But I think everybody understands what the pursuit is. It's an endeavor after something to where it's something you're actively pursuing. 63, 1 through 8 on page 560. As soon as you get there, sweetheart, why don't you read the first three for me, okay?
My Elohim, my El.
Are you there? 560?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, wait, why don't you read one through three?
Okay. Oh, Yahweh.
My El.
El. Thou art my soul.
This earnestly do I desire thee.
Oh, do I?
I get the right chapter.
Yep, she just missed the line. My soul.
My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh pants for thee in a land dry and weary for want of water. In the manna as in the
sanctuary.
I have had vision of thee, to behold thy power and this glory, because better is thy loving kindness than life. My lips allow that praise thee.
She's praising, that's right. Who would like to read 4 through 8?
Me.
Okay, go ahead.
Thus will I bless thee while I live in thy name, I lift up mine outspread hands, and with fatness and richness shall my soul be satisfied, and with joyfully shouting lips shall my mouth utter praise. Should I call thee to mind upon my couch in the watches of the night, would I bleed soft speak to thee, for thou hast become a help unto me, and shall in the shadow of thy wings will I shout for joy. My soul hath run clinging to thee. Thee on me hath thy right hand laid hold.
That's it. That's good. And so if anybody ever wants to know what the pursuit was, or to visualize the pursuit, back in 1b, my soul thirsteth for thee. Now he's speaking out to Yahweh. O Elohim, my El. Okay. Earnestly do I desire thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh fainteth for thee. In a land dry and weary for want of water. And I think to that, I'm like going, you know, I think about a dry, parched desert that's just beat down, where water hits it and just immediately absorbs into it. And this is what David's referring to. And I think to myself, what a great example to be able to look at that and say, okay, I'm not anywhere near there, but this is the mold to say, this is how I should be pursuing. The earnestly desire to have that relationship with Yahweh. This is from Young's Literal Translation. I really like this. I love those loving me, and those seeking me earnestly do find me. The adversary may catch us off guard or by surprise, but the adversary never catches Yahweh off guard. Ever. And so we feel like we get sidetracked. And I think about that. Even people who are walking by the Spirit and they're walking by faith, that something comes along and it's like, what just happened? Did I miss something? Okay. And I also thought about that where, you know, the whole victim mentality, again, going back to that, where Christ, everybody, they're standing around a blind child determining whose fault it is. Mm-hmm. Okay, whose fault is it that this child's blind? And he's telling them today, let us today heal, that he may be healed. Okay, and I think about that. Get out of the victim and back into the victor category, and to start putting it into perspective of the correct pursuing. And knowing that Yahweh sees and Yahweh knows. And so if we are pursuing him, Yahweh's able to fulfill our needs and be that strong tower that we need him to be. This, you guys recognize this here, you probably don't, but this is from We Were Soldiers.
But this I swear, before you and before Almighty God, that when we go into battle, I will be the first to set foot on the field, and I will be the last to step off.
That's it. I wanted to play more of this clip here, but it's a little bit too violent. But as I was going through and preparing this, it brought to mind it was a true story about this. They brought this whole unit in. It was the air cavalry in Vietnam that brought the entire fight in by air. Okay, everybody who did that fight came in by air. There was no ground support. And so they brought them all in, and he was going to lead them and do this. And so during the battle, these guys were just ravaged. They were completely surrounded. I read the book about this, and I listened to the person in this movie. If you guys remember the movie, there was a photographer in there. I listened to the audio book of his personal account of it. It was incredible that anybody even made it out of there. But as they were about to be overrun, the helicopters came back. And they had the Gatling guns. And, I mean, they were literally from every side being attacked. It was coming in on them. And these guys were just standing there ready to shoot, waiting to the last minute to shoot. They knew this was it. This was the end. And the helicopters came in and just took out everybody all the way around the outside. And they did survive. And I thought to myself, the pursuit that these guys all like, we're going to hang in there. We're going to hold to what we know. They've got a strong leader. And as I was thinking about this, I was going through the teaching. I thought to myself, with Yahweh, there's so many times I did a teaching about that in the past, about the fourth hour of the night, the fourth watch of the night. There's so many times we are waiting and we're waiting. We're like going, for crying out loud, what's going on? What's taking place? And Yahweh's there. Yahweh's interjecting and holding tight, waiting. And this is the exact way this movie is. At the very last is when it came in, and what looked like utter defeat turned into a complete win for these guys to be able to get out of there. And so I think about that, and I'm like going, the with Yahweh, with the pursuit of Yahweh, having the dependence upon Him and the faith, knowing that as we get into those battles and we're running those, that Yahweh is watching and Yahweh knows, and it's just like the helicopter coming in from above at the last minute many times. Let's go to Psalms 18 again. So if you guys saved a ribbon there, we're going back to it. And we're going to be on page 536. Actually, it's the bottom of 735. I'm sorry. We're going to start on 7. And I'll go ahead and read this here. In verse 7 of 18, okay, we started off here with it that he was the meshes of death and the meshes of Sheol were surrounding him. Okay, and now listen to David as he's saying this, how he started out, and now listen to this here in verse 7. We're going to go 7 through 19. Then did the earth shake and quake. Even the foundations of the mountains were deeply moved. Yea, they did not shake because he was angry. Wendy, would you mind reading some of those for me there, 8 through 19 for me, please?
Yea, they did shake because he was angry. There went up a smoke in his nostrils and a fire out of his mouth devoured. Live coals were kindled from it. Then he stretched out the heavens and came down, and thick gloom was under his feet. Then he rode on a cherub and flew and darted on the wings of the wind, made darkness his hiding place, round about him his pavilion. Darkness of waters, clouds of vapors. Out of the brightness before him his clouds rolled along, hail and live coals of fire. Then did Yahweh thunder in the heavens, and the highest uttered his voice, hail and live coals of fire. And he sent forth his arrows and scattered them. Yea, lightnings he shot out and confused them. Then appeared the channels of waters were uncovered, the foundations of the world. At thy rebuke, O Yahweh, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils, he sent from on high, he took me. He drew me up out of many waters, and he rescued me from my foe and his might, and from them who hated me, because they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my necessity, then became Yahweh my stay, and brought me out into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me.
That's it. And so, like I said, as I was going through and reading this, that whole section of that, of that battle, which was an actual battle in Vietnam, I just kept thinking about that, how a lot of the helicopter pilots came back and volunteered their time to come back and rescue the people, knowing that they were going into certain death, that their chances of survival were so minimum. And yet, right when it's coming to the end, these guys literally had said their last pieces, and it was it. Even the photographer, they told them, put down your camera. Okay? You might as well fight dying. Okay? You might as well fight because you're going to die. And so they're telling all this, and so they're all getting ready. And then at the last minute, here it comes, and it's just destruction. Utter destruction coming from above. And as I was reading this, I just kept thinking about that. I'm like going, golly, this is... You listen to this of Yahweh at the beginning of the chapter, how he starts off so bleak, and yet what happens where he shows Yahweh's just, you know, nostrils blazing out fire and coals coming out. You're like going, holy cow. Let's go to 28 and through 32. Who would like to read this here, 28 through 32, for me?
I will.
Thank you.
For thou didst light up my lamp, Yahweh my Elohim, and lightened my darkness. For by thee I went through a troop, and by my Elohim I leapt over a wall. As for Yahweh, blameless in his way, the speech of Yahweh hath been proved. A shield he is to all who seek refuge in him. For who is Elohim save Yahweh? And who is the rock save Yahweh? The Elohim who girded me with strength and set me forward and set forth as blameless my way.
That's it. And you know, it's kind of neat when you see this, because this is one of the nice things that you will see within the Rotherham, is you see all the different usages of how they have God in there. Okay, and it's L, the, like I said, the all caps, L. The one with the Old English is Eloah. And so you see this over and over again. It's poetic beauty that just comes out within the Rotherham Bible, that if you read the other ones, it just sounds like Lord, 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 too much, you know, overused. And that's what we see, and it's all broken down. And so I love this here, how it started out. And so in the time of where you're thinking about dying, is now you completely put in his mind, he's saying the things of what Yahweh is and what can be done. And so this is David confessing. He's confessing my weakness, okay? And then he's saying also with there that, hey, my faith comes out with this and my rejoicing comes with this. And he has pursued. This is verse 39. Thou didst gird me with strength for the battle. Thou subduest mine assailants under me. And verse 49. For this cause I will praise thee among the nations, O Yahweh, and to thy name will I sweep the strings. And you're just like going, it's 50 verses, and it's a beautiful chapter of basically from one extreme to the other extreme, that you're just like going, golly, that's great. And so that's David. That's it. That's a wonderful account for the pursuit. And so for us and me as well, is I have to force myself every day to re-energize that pursuit. You know, I think about that even for like a husband and wife or a boyfriend and girlfriend. That, you know, if you only said, I love you, you know, once every 10 years, the other person might be like going, hey, you know, can you speak up and tell me every now and then? I need that reassurance, okay? And so for us as well, that we need that reassurance, and we need to, even when we're feeling strong, because we're the body of Christ, okay? We've got a lot of authority, but we also, remember what they said in 2 Corinthians, that when I am weak, I am strong. So put away my own strengths and take on the strengths of what's above. It's not me that does this, okay? It's not me that does that. When people say that, like I've done prophecies before, for people, they're like going, you are really good at this. I don't know how you're able to do this. Yeah. I'm like going, it's not me. I'm just a conduit. Yeah. Think of me as a wire, okay, yeah, that connects up two points. There's nothing special in me other than I'm a son of Yahweh, and I have spirit, so I'm able to do this. So do you. You can do the same thing. And so that's how we have to look at it. But we are to have that pursuit into Yahweh, to where we are connected and the dependence. Confession is the easy part, or is it? Okay, I know for a lot of times it's a tough thing to do that, to say that I'm weak in this. Okay, and that might be tougher than actually doing the pursuit part. I think the pursuit is completely different, because it's easier to say it, but to actually live it and walk it. And David did. He would actually live it and walk it. His pursuit showed that his pursuit was for Yahweh. Started with the meshes of death. It ended with, have delivered my foes, yea, my assailants. Okay, and he has rescued me. Flip over to Psalms 119 over a few pages, and we will close here with this one. This is going to be the fifth book of it, I believe. Maybe more. I'll flip to the wrong page. 119 is going to be on, starts off on page 592. The most verses for any chapter in the Bible right here. So shall we read the whole chapter? It only goes for like 3 or 4 pages. So. Okay. Anybody who hasn't read? Isaiah, have you read?
Yeah.
Everybody read? Who would like to read a couple of these? Or I can read them. I'll tell you what. I'll go ahead and read these. All right, starting in verse 10. With my heart have I sought thee. Suffer me not to be led astray from thy commandments. In my heart. Now this is directions for pursuit. What's it take for the pursuit? How did David do the pursuit? What was included in his pursuit? With all my heart have I sought thee. Suffer me not to be led astray from thy commandments. In my heart have I treasured that thou hast said, to the end I may not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Yahweh, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I recounted all my regulations of my mouth. In the ways of thy testimony have I rejoiced. Like as of all other riches, in the precepts will I mediate. That I may discern thy paths, in thy statutes will I find my dear delight. I will not forget thy word. And so I went through a while back and I underlined some of the things of this. I'm like going, because you see that segment there from 9 all the way through 16. And it's with all my heart have I sought thee, and treasured, and recounted, and rejoiced, and mediated, and delighted. And I'm like going, that is a perfect recipe for the pursuit. To put a person into it. So for myself, I have to, in the mornings, get up, and the first thing I try to always do is read. I try to read the Word. I'm like, going, first fruits, going to do this first. It sets the whole day, and it gets my mind set up right, where I can start doing things and get my thinking ready so that I can direct my pursuit towards Yahweh and being a good member of Christ for that day. But that's it. I'll go ahead and close. Yahweh, we thank you for your words, and we thank you for the great examples and the history that we have in the Word, that as we dig through, that we can just devour treasures and just uncover things and secrets and strategies and plans. We thank you for that, Yahweh, for us being able to seek the Word and seek your statutes and your commandments as David did, that as we do these things, it is well pleasing unto you, and it puts our life in a different category, and it elevates us to be able to have more dependence upon you, Yahweh. So we thank you for that we are always coming before you seeking your direction, and we thank you for the words that you put upon us. We thank you, Christ, for the price that you paid, that we have the access to our Father, the access to the authority of your name. We thank you for that we use this and we speak this out, that it is not just something that sits idle, but it is something that's energized, that never runs out of gas, never is extinguished, that it is always available as if we open our mouths and we speak these things and we're walking in your ways. We thank you for that. We thank you, Christ, and we thank you, Yahweh, for the words that you give, and we just speak this all in your name, Christ Jesus. My sons and daughters, I have placed before you guidance and directions that you may be able to follow me, that there is a light that is before you that is pulling you to it, and I see that you are rejecting or shying away from it because of a pull of family members or close friends that you are surrounded with that are pulling you from this, that you feel an attraction to it, and you do not want to look away from this, from the light that I am putting upon you, but you feel that it is easier to be pulled back against these things. And I call you to separate and lay down the foundations that I've given to you, that through these things that you can also be a light and that you can be a pillar for those that are behind you. But know first that you must come before me, and you must stand, and you must stand that I am able to separate you as well, and that I will fortify you, and that the things that you feel like you may lose, that you will not lose, but what you will gain will far surpass the things that are from behind you. So do not look behind you, and do not be drawn backwards, but be drawn towards me, and be drawn towards the things that I have promised and the things that I am giving. For in me my paths are good, and my promises are true, and that I will fulfill these things, that as you have been called, that I seek you out, that you may be able to come to me and hear from me and be blessed at my table.